morning. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church this morning. It's a beautiful Sunday. First Sunday in June, if I'm not mistaken. I don't usually know even what day it is, but today I think I'm right. First Sunday in June. So welcome. If you're visiting with us today, for the first time especially, if you would tear that off the end of the bulletin and put it in the offering plate as the offering plate comes around, we would appreciate that very much. Not a lot of announcements today. The big one on your bulletin is July 4th. In my shirt.
They're telling me upstairs not to turn
it on. All right. So Labor Day, July 4th is coming up. Make sure you put that on your calendar. Big celebration up here on July 3rd. So just because it's Independence Day, don't think it's on the 4th. We're going to be up here on the 3rd. Got that? The 3rd. And that evening we're going to enjoy fireworks and also host people coming in to watch the fireworks. There's going to be some activities and stuff. Brian's going to brief you on that before it comes, and so you'll know what's going on. Operation Christmas Child, we've got a spot out in the foyer to drop off your items for Operation Christmas Child. We've got a storeroom. It's all organized. We're going to really move out on that. And then youth camp coming up. We want to be in prayer for that, for those that are going to attend youth camp from our church and all the others. I don't think there's much other news today. So let's stand and we'll pray and prepare for worship. And after we pray, remain standing. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that we have the freedom that we've got from you in this country to come and worship together as our Independence Day approaches, and we recognize just what a blessing it is to live in this country. What a blessing it is.
Gave him the name that is above every name. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's found in Philippians 2, 9 through 11.
Father, we thank you for allowing us into your presence. And Father, we pause as we worship you. We give you honor and glory and acknowledge that you are the one and only God. And we thank you that we can even approach your throne. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. This morning I'm excited. We're starting the series that y'all set up with the questions, all the questions that got turned in. So for the next 2 months we're going to be looking at those questions. And we're doing that on the basis of James 1:5, which is such an amazing verse to me. It says, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking," which means you can ask anything. So we're going to take a look at some of those. We can do that because we have a Savior who loves us. As our ushers come forward, pray with me. Father, we thank you for loving us enough to die for us. And my prayer is that, Father, we love you with every part of our life, including our possessions. And we come to this time of worship that, Father, we give to you not because you need it, but because we need it. May you bless our tithes and our offerings and use them to your good and your glory. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Just a word, and suddenly I'm not afraid, 'cause you speak and freedom reigns. There is hope in every single word you say.
me. Father, we thank you that you do speak. And Father, we pray that as we open your word, Father, I pray that you open our hearts, that you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, that we give you these moments to clear our minds of the distractions. Let the words that are spoken be yours and draw us close to you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. I'm so excited about this series. And the questions that y'all gave me are so incredible. And I'm going to have help doing it, which is so much fun. Jody's agreed to help me. I got the first question here this morning. And it says, can you directly, and directly is underlined three times, can you directly hear from God? If so, how? And what does he sound like? At some point in time, we've all had that question. I've had it.
Absolutely.
There's three questions there. We're going to do, they're all related. We can answer the first one pretty quick. Can you directly hear from God?
Pretty short answer. Yes.
Yes. Now we're going to unpack the how and what does he sound like. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to read the first four verses. One day, Moses was tending to the flock of his father-in-law Jericho. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to... I can't even see that. Sinai, the mountain of God. Verse 2, there's an angel of the Lord appeared to him in the blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared amazed. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it did not burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why is this bush burning up? I must go see. Verse 4. When the Lord saw Moses coming to him, a closer look, God called to Moses in the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses said. This is what we want, right?
Yep.
This is what we want. We want the burning bush, the audible voice, the no mistaking. You ever had this experience?
Never had a burning bush yet. Still waiting.
Anybody in here had a burning bush experience? This is not normal, okay? This is not normal how he talks. But he does talk, right? How do we go about when we don't have the burning bush? How does he talk to us?
Well, the Bible clearly brings out several episodes where he does speak directly, but it is really rare, very, very rare. And so, you know, since we live in the modern time, I'll kind of think about what I've experienced and what I've heard testimony of. Some people actually have heard God in their dreams, and that's very predominant in the Muslim world, where in the Muslim world, God is reaching people. They'll wake up and say, I had this message in a dream, and when they investigate, they find out that it's leading them to God. That also is unusual, especially in the Western world. We don't usually lean on our dreams too much, do we?
No.
And so when you're looking to hear from God, first off, you have to be looking for it.
Right.
And God speaks directly to his children in all kinds of ways, with all kinds of things. But if you're not a child of God, in my view, there's only one way God speaks to you, and that's when he's calling you to himself.
Right.
If you're a non-believer, you can pray all day long for everything you want to. God doesn't respond to that because you haven't put your faith in him. So that's the first key. Do you believe
desperately that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you put your faith in Him. So we'll go kind of from that point.
Right. I think one of the things that we need to remind ourselves of that we forget about so often is the Bible is for believers. Period. Okay? The Bible is for believers. So everything that is in the Bible is directed to us who have put our faith in there. So any direction that is given is to believers. Now, in talking about directly, I can tell you I've had one experience in my life that I've told this story before, but the night that I preached my first sermon, I got incredibly sick in the pulpit, physically sick, and they literally took me from the pulpit to the emergency room. And they admitted me to the hospital. And that night in the hospital, I began praying because what I was trying to figure out, it wasn't a why me, is what is this about? Because I had spent a year running from God, and now I'm doing what God wants, and here I am flat on my back in the hospital. And I can tell you, I won't say it was an audible voice, but it was audible in my head. Does that make sense? I heard it. God said, trust me. That's the only time I've ever had that experience. But that doesn't define how God speaks to us. He does speak to us directly once we put our faith in Him.
Yeah, once we put our faith in Christ, He wants to communicate with His children. So He's not reserved about that. And what sometimes we do is we say, well, I'm not hearing from God. Typically that means I'm not listening. He's not telling me what I want to hear. And so when I say He doesn't speak usually in an audible voice, it doesn't mean He doesn't use a voice that you sense in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And even in your mind, you sense, trust me, like He did. I mean, all of you know about my experience in the hospital. And once I came awake and understood kind of what was going on, I would ask, you know, what's going on? What do I do now? And I heard that. Trust me. What about my wife? She's out there somewhere. Trust me. And so I can't say I've heard His voice directly, but it's not always, we don't have to depend on an audible voice. We need to be in tune with this Holy Spirit who will speak to our heart and our mind. The other thing is He speaks directly through nature. I mean, I can remember, and I'll tell a really short story. I was an atheist. I was down there at Fort Hood, Texas. We were in training. I'm laying out in the woods on my back looking at the stars with a buddy. We're supposed to be on guard duty. We really weren't guarding very much, but we were trying to guard against falling asleep.
You were guarding the skies, right?
So we were looking at the skies, and this friend, this companion who was a Christian, starts talking about the stars and God and all that kind of stuff. Well, I was not a believer. He was hearing something different than I was. But what I was hearing was, believe me, believe me, believe me. And I just, you know, did this. So I don't hear from God as a non-believer. But He speaks to me in other ways through His nature. He speaks to us through good counsel of Christians around us. When we want to know, what do I do about this? Let's pray. And it always is rooted in prayer.
Yeah.
We pray together, and He'll speak directly to us through godly counsel. And, of course, through His Word. I mean, how many of you have had testimony where you said, I was praying about this and didn't know what to do, and I opened my Bible this morning, and boom, there's the answer. That's God speaking directly to you. It's not a billboard on the side of the road. Nothing like that.
I think one of the things, because I can remember doing this as a teenager. Anybody ever prayed about something and said, God, give me the answer, and then open the Bible and go, oh, that ain't it. That's not how God speaks. That is not it.
No, it's not a random stick figure in the text.
No. I think that the thing that we have to guard against is if you're a believer and you're honestly seeking God, sometimes we try to manufacture the answer by that's not it either. And you hear a lot about that still small voice. That's a real thing, but you got to learn to hear that.
And how do you hear a still small voice? Have you ever been where there was something you wanted to listen to, but you couldn't quite hear it. There's a couple of things you have to do. One is you have to listen harder. But the second thing is remove the background that's preventing you from hearing it. And so many of us as Christians, I'm not talking about the pagan world, I'm talking about us as Christians, we carry around all this noise around us, and we can't stop and put it aside. You know, how many people find a quiet place, turn off the television, shut down their phone to read the scripture and to pray, versus saying, please don't be offended if this is you, but I've heard people say, well, I listen to stuff on the radio on the way to work, and that's my quiet time. It cannot be your quiet time.
Right.
And so there's some things we have to do to say to God, I want to hear from you, and whatever you say, I will obey. So there's the faith, the trust, and then the readiness. So God's not going to knock, bang on your door, bang on your heart, say, hey, I'm trying to talk to you. He says, you've got free will. If you want to listen to me, you'll do what you need to do to listen to me.
One of the things about the story we read is Moses gets this burning bush, but he stops what he's doing and goes to the bush to investigate. And Misty and I have had this discussion before about, because I'm fascinated by generational changes. And my son's generation, they are a generation that is very comfortable in being overstimulated in terms of when I took a test, and I bet when you took a test in school, everything had to be quiet so you could be focused on what you were doing. His generation, it's the complete opposite. They can't even think when it's quiet. But for us to hear God, we've got to clear the noise out. And you bring up a good example. I've had this happen at home where I'm trying to listen to something on TV and there's people talking and stuff going on, and I just stop the TV until that clears out. To hear God at times, we have to clear the noise, because you can't hear him through the noise.
And another component of it is it takes some concentration to focus on God. And here's a good example, I think. If you sit in a restaurant and you're having your meal with your family, and people at the next table are talking, and you hear a key word that's interesting to you, you know, I don't know what it is, something's on sale, and so you want to hear what they're talking about, or they're talking about something else that's interesting to you, and you don't turn and look at them, because that would be rude, wouldn't it? But you're trying to hear what they're saying, and you've ever realized with the noise around you how hard it is to understand what they're saying when you're not turning and listening directly? It's the same with God. So there's the eliminating distractions, and that also helps you to focus on him. And if your focus is not on him, I'm really guilty of this. I'll sit down to pray, and 10 minutes later I'm thinking about, I wonder what Trisha's making for dinner. You know, that kind of thing. You have to really focus. And it takes practice. And the more you do it with patience and with desire, trust, and faith, God will begin to speak to you through some of these means, not usually in an audible voice.
Do you remember the pictures that were incredibly popular in the 90s? They were hidden images where you kind of had to let your eyes go out of focus to see it. I could never see that. I tried. I could never see that. God's voice is a lot like that. You have to focus on it to hear. He will speak to you, but you have to focus on it. John 10:27, this is Jesus talking. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I always love the example, and I use it a lot, is back before caller ID, when my phone rang and I picked it up, if it was my wife on the other end, she didn't have to tell me it was her, because I knew her voice. And that still small voice that we're talking about from God is the same way. You have to, but that takes a relationship of being able to know that voice when it's speaking. Because there's a lot of voices that'll speak in your head.
other ways he'll talk directly to us is through confirmations of prayers. And I'll give a very recent example. My friend Dave is here from Wisconsin. He's visiting with us for a period of days and doing some things around the house that I can no longer do, some physical things and some fixing up and repairs. And the other day we had kind of a big job to do, and we couldn't get any help. We couldn't find anybody to help, and we just said, well, God, we'll just pray about it. God will figure it out. Well, then we were invited to go to dinner with a guy who's a handyman in Burleson, and he let it slip that he's going to be out of town next week, and so one of his guys doesn't have anything to do. What? Now, we prayed. We got an answer. We didn't have to get that answer. It could have been an answer, you don't need to do that project yet, so I'm not going to give you any help. But that's God speaking directly to us. It wasn't, you know, we didn't look it up on the internet and find somebody. God gave us these two guys. It worked out great.
So let me ask you this, because I bet in a group this size, some of us or all of us have done this. God, if you want me to, and fill in the blank, if you want me to make that tree in the front yard die.
I knew this was coming.
Right? That rarely.
There are instances in the Bible, and we all know the phrase, put out a fleece. Everybody know that phrase? It comes from Judges, and the story about Gideon who wanted to know God. So in the book of Judges, one of the judges, his name was Gideon. He was the least among his tribe. And God calls him to do some mighty works. And he's going like, okay, God, if you really want me to do this, I'm going to put a piece of wool out there. And in the morning, if I wake up and it's soaking wet, then I'll know that you want me to proceed. Wakes up the next morning, it's soaking wet. He says, well, okay, let's do it again. So it's soaking wet, Lord. If I wake up the next morning and it's completely dry, I might have those backwards. I wake up in the morning, it's completely dry, then I'll know it really is you. And he wakes up the next morning, it's really dry, completely dry. And he says, okay, God, let's go. That's called, we in Christian world, we call that putting out a fleece. There are some dangers about that.
Yeah. Why?
Because oftentimes the fleece turns about a couple of things. Sometimes the fleece is something we can control and we can say, yeah, I put out this fleece. Let's say, God, if you want me to take this job, then the next thing I see will be a billboard that says, go for it. And there's another personality in the mix, and he's called Satan. And he wants to derail you. And so that's where you have to have some discernment. So putting out a fleece, there's a little bit of concern there. Typically, that's not what God does. Typically, God responds to your prayer and gives you some feedback, but you need to be ready to hear it directly.
It's like the burning bush, okay? That is not generally how God works. And typically, I can tell you, when you are putting out the fleece, you already have the answer. You already have the answer. And what God is saying to us so often is, I already told you that. So then you work yourself into a situation where you wake up the next morning and the tree ain't dead, but it's something you really feel like you ought to do. So now what? The tree's still alive and I feel like I'm supposed to do it. So am I going against what God wants if I do it and the tree didn't die? Satan loves confusion, okay? And sometimes you and I create confusion for ourselves. And that's not how God works.
You said something really key, and that is we're putting out a fleece because we don't like the answer we already know. And you're hoping to have an out. Mm-hmm. God, if you want me to take this job, put up a billboard. Well, I didn't see a billboard, so I guess, you know, I didn't want the job anyway. Kind of an attitude. So we have to be careful about putting out fleece because it can work both ways.
Yeah. Satan can use it.
But usually, the point I wanted to make that I forgot to make was, he said you usually already know the answer to the question, like Gideon knew the answer. He knew he was supposed to go and do this thing, and he was saying, oh, okay, prove it to me. We do that all the time. We say, God, I know what you want me to do. God says, obey. well, God, do you really want me to obey it in your word? It says do this, and that sounds kind of, it's against the culture and against my nature. And he's obey. Most of the questions are already answered.
I can tell a fantastic story about this. At the church that Jody and I used to go to, I had a deacon come up to me and say, I want you to go on a prison ministry trip with me. And I'm going to be right honest with you. I didn't want to go. For various... Who wants to go into prison? Okay? So he could tell, I guess, the look on my face, and he said, wait a minute. Let me back up and start over. He said, will you pray about going on a trip with me into prison? I said, sure, I'll pray about that.
But you already had the answer you were looking for. You were hoping the answer was...
You know, as I was stumbling across that, as I was praying about that, I stumbled across the scripture that says, I was in prison and you came to visit me. But let me tell you this. There are few things that have been so impactful in my life as that first trip into prison. And I'll tell you, we went to Huntsville, and I got assigned to one of the old units. And if you go on any of these trips with Jody, what you will rarely see are prison bars. It's not like that anymore. Generally, they're doors with glass in them. But I got assigned to an old unit, the Gore E unit, and it still has prison bars. And there was this moment where when you're entering the prison, most of them have, they're like elevators, where one door opens and you go in and that door closes, and both of them are closed before the next one opens and lets you in. And when that back door closed, it was a moment of intense fear that came over me. And then I'll tell you what hit me. There was a smell that, most of you know, my father was the police chief of our hometown. So I grew up going in and out of the jail in our hometown. And there was a smell. It was very distinct. I can't even describe it. That I smelled the moment that door shut and fear hit me, that smell from my childhood came back, and it was a flush of peace of God saying, trust me. And few things have been as impactful as that trip. And that was the first of, I think, 20-something. I've lost count at this point. But God wants us more often than not, what He's saying to us is, trust me. Because what we generally are looking for, that still small voice answer, is assurance that which way I'm going is going to be okay. And sometimes we go in directions that we don't think are okay because things don't work out exactly how we thought they should. And sometimes that's even God at that. Psalms 85:8 says, I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying. He speaks peace to His faithful people. Peace is what we get more often than not when we're listening to that still small voice.
We've always probably, most of us have said this word, I have a peace about it. And that to me comes from this, from the small voice everything seems to be in harmony. And I think harmony is an important thing when it comes to God. What puts us in disharmony is disobedience, lack of faith, sin puts us in disharmony with God. And like the song said, I don't want to miss anything you say because everything you say is life to me. Mm-hmm. And so it's important. Now, I'd also like to say that we sometimes pray for things that we don't need to pray about because we already know what to do. Things that are right, we know right and wrong. Most of the time, we don't pray about those things, although we should. We're praying about some bigger decisions mm-hmm. often. You know, who should I date? Who should I marry? Where should I work? What should I do? Should I get this mortgage or not? Et cetera, et cetera. And God doesn't typically, we don't typically need God to tell us, you know, I need to skip lunch today. Do I need to pray about skipping lunch today? No, you know what to do, Jody. You know, he's not saying don't bother me. He's saying I've given you a brain, I've given you a will, I've given you a spirit, and given you a brain, so use it. Use it the right way. So a lot of things that people have come to me and said, would you pray about this with me, or how do I know what to do? I'm going like, dude, you know what to do. You don't need to pray about that. You should be praying that I do the right thing all the time.
If I'm asking permission to counteract the Bible,
yep.
The answer is always no. Yep. Y'all remember growing up? When you didn't get the answer you wanted from your mother, so you went to your father. How'd that work out? Many times God has already told us in His Word, and we want permission to do otherwise, and that's never going to happen.
Yep.
It's never going
to
happen.
It's never right to do the wrong thing.
John 16, verse 13 says, when the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, comes, and at this point we have Him, He will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard, and He will tell you about the future. So the Holy Spirit is our guide. And going back to our three questions, can we hear from Him? Yes. If so, how? And I think we've unpacked the how of, first of all, you got to rely on Scripture to start with, because that is God-breathed, that is His Word. And what that takes on our part is getting in the Scripture, and not the let it fall and point your finger. That's not listening to Scripture. I many times growing up, Grant would ask me a question that he already knew the answer to, and I would say, what do you think I'm going to say to that? And he would tell me, because he was looking for permission, like we are, to do the opposite of what I know. If you are looking for permission to disobey God, you're never going to get it. You're never going to get it. So if we want to hear God, we have to know His Word. And then we have to start listening to His voice. And that, what Jody brings up, even Jesus got away from everything and the noise of this world, because the noise of this world is going to tell you to do the opposite of whatever God tells you to. So you have to get away from that. And if you want to know what He sounds like, go ahead.
He sounds like the chirping of your favorite bird. He sounds like the wind blowing. He sounds like a baby crying. He sounds like your loved one speaking softly to you. He sounds like your best friend encouraging you. He sounds like life. But what we need to do is listen to life, listen to the creation, and that's His voice speaking to us. Now, He doesn't, through the bird, you know, a bird doesn't suddenly start talking to me, but when I hear birds chirp, which we hear a lot these days, now that we're sort of home sometimes, and I think, God, why did you send that beautiful cardinal to me? And it causes me to move from that place into a place with Him, even momentarily. So He sounds like a lot of different things. Very rarely does He sound like this booming voice, you know, Bob. Bob, you don't hear that. But you have to be looking for Him in faith and trust and obedience, and you will hear Him. And sometimes you'll go, whoa,
yeah.
God, that's just what I needed. That's confirmation, or that's declination. Don't do that.
Yeah.
He's everywhere.
I'll close with this story. Last summer, we have a big elm tree in our backyard, and I wanted to plant another one. And so I ordered it, and it came in the mail. Y'all know I buy everything online. So it came in the mail, and I went out to the spot that I was going to plant this tree, and I got everything, and I planted this tree, and I promise y'all, this tree's about, I don't know, it's 7 foot tall. It's a little taller than I am when I planted it. And when I planted it, I turned around to walk back toward the house, and I have never, ever seen this tree. But there was one just like it between where I planted this one and the house. And it was 7 foot tall, about the same. That tree, I don't know how long it's been there growing, but I had never seen it before. God's like that. When you start looking for Him, you will start seeing Him. He's there. But you have to look for Him. And you have to look for His will. And you'll start hearing that voice. We're going to quit. Stand with us and let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for this question. And my prayer is for each of us that we learn Your voice a little better, that we learn to look for You a little more, and that we will see You right before us, even where we've never seen You before. But give us eyes to see. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.